Good morning. You've tuned into the KRFY morning show, broadcasting on 88.5 Panhandle Community Radio. The morning show with your hosts, Jim and Jack, on a hot Independence Day, looking into Independence Day weekend here, Thursday.
We've had this hot weather with us leading up to Independence Day and probably exiting out of Independence Day. What is the forecast?
It is going to be a hot one and pretty sunny. You know, for Independence Day, for the 4th of July, it's not. That's kind of what you want. It's better than cold and rainy, that's for sure. But it is going to be in the 90s. Today, high of 92, sunny. Today, clear all day, all night. Sunny and clear all day, all night. Tomorrow, the next day, 94 degrees on Friday, 93 on the 4th of July itself, and mostly clear that night. Good for watching fireworks. The good news is that I'm seeing is this clear weather means it's going to get, it will keep getting somewhat cool at night down towards 60 degrees as a low in the middle of the night. So you can, you know, open up those windows and
turn the fans on.
You'll be able to at least get a few hours of sleep before that sun comes back up and starts baking again.
And don't forget to keep hydrated. Keep those liquids flowing through you. If you have pets, unless they're goldfish, keep them hydrated as well as your gardens.
Well, I would argue that it's important to keep the goldfish hydrated, too.
Well, yeah, that would be too, but they're already hydrated.
Yes.
Speaking of hot, we have a full house here in the studio.
Yes.
Thank goodness we have air conditioning. We have three guests with us this morning. Cami Pavasek, she is co-director and producer of Add the Words documentary, which is going to be the focus of our conversation. Good morning, Cami.
Good morning, Jim and Jack. Thank you so much for having us on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, as well as Julie Stratton. She is president of Coeur d'Alene PFLAG, and we'll be talking about PFLAG, what the acronym means, and what it is doing for the community. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, and thank you for having us today to talk about these important issues in beautiful Sandpoint.
Absolutely. And how was the drive up for both of you coming up from Coeur d'Alene this morning?
It was perfect.
Good, good. I went down that way yesterday and came back up here at Sandpoint, and the roads were busy, especially around the theme park, Silverward. These are days to be down there. And then finally, Laura Bree. Laura is the vice president. She's got a whole list of things, but primarily vice president of the Foundation for Human Rights Action and Advocacy. And that organization helped to sponsor the recent Sandpoint showing of Add the Words. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Laura.
Good to have you back, Laura.
Thank you.
Friend of the program.
Absolutely. Now, Add the Words, the film, it follows the leaders of the Add the Words movement. I'm reading from the press release. And the lives of those directly affected by Idaho not including the phrase sexual orientation and gender identity to the state's Human Rights Act. Cami?
Yes.
As co-director and producer of the film, talk a little bit about your creative efforts in this area.
Well, thanks, Jim. First, I'd like to talk about the fact that in Idaho and 18 other states, it is still legal to fire someone or refuse them housing, service, or medical care, like if you're a private EMT, if you are gay or transgender. And that has caused, or it hasn't caused, but there's no support for the youth in our community. So in some of the rural cities, we are seeing swarms of suicides. And it's not that kids are getting gay bullied to death, but they don't necessarily have the tools or the support to deal with that bullying. And that was one of the reasons that I got involved in this. The second reason is when I'm from eastern Idaho, and then I went to high school in Boise, Idaho, and now I live up in Coeur d'Alene. So I'm from the entire state, fifth generation Idahoan, and I love Idaho, and I wanted to move back here But when I moved back in Boise, I turned on the television and all of a sudden I saw my friends being arrested, and I knew that I wanted to get involved, but I was unemployed. So I couldn't get arrested, but I knew I could make a film. So I decided to call my friend Michael D. Goff, and we went down to the State House, and we were just going to make a short. And we were just going to do some interviews and get some B-roll footage. And this epic battle was happening because for 8 years, the LGBT community has asked for a hearing, just a hearing, to get the words sexual orientation and gender identity added onto the Civil Rights Act of Idaho, and have been denied that hearing. And each year they have said, this is going to be next year, this is going to be next year, and nothing has happened. And so in 2014, a group of about 160 people got arrested several times participating in civil disobedience to bring awareness and to put a face around, on this issue, because we know then that you know, the news will cover it and things. So it was an opportunity for education and for people to tell their stories that the legislators weren't allowing.
Cammie, could you explain a little bit about the political process? I'm not quite, you know, about a hearing and then going before the floor of the legislature. You know, you talk about they spent 8 years trying to get a hearing. Could you explain the process of the steps and what the film focuses in on?
Yeah, so the steps are that, you know, a committee needs, there needs to be a sponsor of the bill. The sponsor then takes the bill to a committee. The committee then holds a public hearing so that people can talk about their experiences, whether they support the bill or not. And then it moves forward to the general orders, which means it goes to the floor then for a vote, either on the House side or the Senate side, and then vice versa, then the bill is voted on. This year, even though we actually did get a hearing in 2015, or 2000, I guess it was still 2014 and 15 legislative session. We did get a hearing, but it never made it out of committee. So it was pretty much a party line vote. I think it was 14-3. But, you know, we made progress because people heard the stories. You know, all the legislators were saying, wow, you know, we didn't realize this was happening. We didn't realize people were getting discriminated against or having a hard time. We'll try to be nicer.
But the vote came down against, 14-3 against.
Yeah, against. So they voted against moving it onto the floor for a vote by the legislators.
So was this called the hearing?
Yes, this was the hearing that they've been asking for, so now we still need to move forward.
So it was a hearing before a committee, and the committee then recommends it to go before the floor.
Correct.
Okay. The vote was along party lines, wasn't it?
Yes.
Would you like to talk a little bit about that, your perceptions on the party lines?
Well, you know, I can speak for the movie. I don't necessarily speak for the movement, so I just want to make that clear. So anything I say that, you know, I hope it doesn't offend anybody from the AdTheWords movement, so please forgive me on this one. But I know that Nicola Favor in our film, she was our first openly gay legislator and senator in Idaho, and she's been a champion and a leader of this. And then Misty Tolman, who was head of the Add the Words movement at the time when we made the film, were the two leaders. And Nicole really talks about the fact that in this state, where the state where the Tea Party rules, they still have a big, you know, they have a lot of political power, and people have this misidea that the Tea Party is against gay rights, which isn't true because they're very libertarian in a lot of their thinking. So they don't want government, you know, telling people what to do, you know, or infringing on freedoms so that people should be able to marry who they love or be with who they love and not get, you know, be able to get go to a place and get a sandwich, you know, or to be able to work, the freedom to work. So this is not an issue for them. But there's a political cowardice in this state where they think that if they go against anything that the Tea Party, they think that the Tea Party might cause rancor among the legislators and their base, they're not going to stand up for it. And so even though the polls show that 81% of Idahoans believe in employment protection and 67% of Idahoans believe that you shouldn't be able to refuse service or housing to someone because they're gay or transgender, the legislator won't touch this. So it is a political thing, but in the meantime, our children are dying, people are unemployed, and struggling to, you know, get jobs.
I'm sort of curious about the statistics you bring up, 81% in favor of employment, 67% in favor of housing, but yet, for some reason, the legislators who supposedly represent the will of the people, why is there this disconnect? Someone might say, what's going on here? How would you respond to this disconnect between the people who are in an elected position and the will of the people? What would you say to a person about this disconnect?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know what's in the hearts and the minds of the legislature. I know that when we've talked to them, you know, some of the legislators have said this just isn't an issue we want to touch right now. At first, they were saying it was because they were afraid that adding the words would lead to marriage equality. And that's a non-issue now. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh in the microphone, but so we're hoping that actually this year we might be able to make some headway because that's been the roadblock. So that was a slippery slope to marriage equality. Well, it's here. So now let's get some employment protection.
Okay. Next to you, to the left, is Julie Stratton, president of the Coeur d'Alene PFLAG. Who made the drive up here with Cammy? Yay, Julie. Could you say a little bit about PFLAG and then how the mission of PFLAG and its goals dovetail into Add the Words?
Absolutely. And thank you again for allowing us the opportunity to talk about this. PFLAG has been around since 1972. It's a national organization with chapters all over the country. It used to stand for Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. Over the last few years, PFLAG at the national level has recognized that this group has grown way beyond the acronym. And so they've dropped the Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and now we're just known as PFLAG. And what that really means is we're a group of LGBT people, our families, our friends, our allies, working together to create a safe and supportive environment and to move equality forward. So we work off of a mission that includes three things: support, education, and advocacy. And our support is just that. We offer support to each other to share our experiences, to share our stories, to be there, to cry with, to have joy with, to share a meal with. We really just help people come out of isolation and to come out in a safe and supporting way. Our education, we reach out to the community through things like this. We have a speakers bureau, so we go out into community agencies and offices and meet with staff and talk about what it means to be gay or queer or transgender. We talk about the acronym. We talk about the language that we use. A lot of people just don't know what the terms mean. And a lot of people tell us, I've never met a gay person. And then they meet us and literally say, well, you're not so bad. And that's part of our education and getting out there and doing outreach is to let people know that there is a community here that includes gay and lesbian and queer and transgender people. And we do have families and we do have friends that support us. And we have families that have coming out stories. And it all started back in 72 with Jean Manford walking in the Christopher Parade, the precursor to the Gay Pride Parade in New York, with her son, Morty. And she was overwhelmed with young people running up to her. And she just had a sign that said, "I support my gay son." That simple. She was overwhelmed with people running up to her, young people saying, "Will you please talk to my parents? They don't understand." And PFLAG was born from that parade, from those interactions. She started holding meetings in her house. And out of that, we now have a national organization with over 350 chapters in the country, and it's international. And so PFLAG Coeur d'Alene started a year ago, just over a year ago, really out of a necessity for me to feel a sense of community. I started going to PFLAG in Spokane and was overwhelmed by the love and the family that I felt there and the openness and welcome and acceptance from everyone, from a lesbian, a transgender person, a bisexual person, a parent, a sibling, a pastor, everyone who was just really open to letting people live in their authentic self. And when I started going over there, people in Coeur d'Alene started hearing about it and they said, "I want to go too." And so I would start to take people with me, and pretty soon we had to take multiple cars. And we thought, why don't we just start one in our area? Clearly, people want this. And when I moved to Coeur d'Alene 6 years ago with my wife, it was really difficult culture shock. I felt like a big gay fish out of water. And I desperately needed to find community. I felt isolated. I got depressed. I looked around and I just didn't find people like me. And coming from a metropolitan community, this was pretty devastating. And so PFLAG has really given me that home to meet people, not just like me, but people who love unconditionally, people who are open to all folks on the gender and sexuality spectrum. And so that's what we talk about. And from that, we've grown and we've been able to achieve some things in our third prong of our mission, which is advocacy. And that's where we've been able to really connect with the Add the Words. We're not in a community where we're going to be arrested and we're going to picket like they do in Boise. We're not there yet. Maybe someday we will. But right now, we're trying to build a community where we feel safe in being who we are. We're meeting people who accept us for who we are. We're finding more family members who need us because their child has come out and they said, "We're getting the heck out of here." And they've left. They don't want to live in Idaho anymore because they don't feel safe and they don't feel accepted. And so we're helping family members realize that you can still be a part of a community and hopefully get their kids back to town.
Well, I'm listening to you, Julie, and I'm thinking of Cammy's movie, and I'm thinking when you talk about the isolation and the loneliness, I think about the mother whose son committed suicide in the film as a result of gay bullying, I think in Pocatello, mm-hmm. and I go, wow, you know, if a PFLAG, maybe there is a PFLAG in Pocatello, I don't know. But oftentimes one feels isolated, one feels alone, and the kind of support that PFLAG can offer.
Right. And that's who we're here for. And we're here for those youth too. What PFLAG offers is that place where, and we're not a fix-all for everyone. We're not for everyone. But when people are feeling that isolation, even here in Sandpoint, we've met people who feel so isolated and alone. They just need to know there's somebody out there who will accept them for who they are. We're here for that. And PFLAG is somewhat of a transitional place, too. We have people come and go. We have people that come in and need us for a couple months, and they get what they need, and they move on mm-hmm. to live, you know, in whatever other community they're in. And we have people like me that are, I think, lifers, you know, we're here because
committed to
this
Coeur d'Alene.
And we're committed to Coeur d'Alene, but we're committed outside of Coeur d'Alene. We're committed to creating a safe and supporting mm-hmm. environment for everyone to feel who can be their authentic selves. Whether you're gay or you're not, we talk about people have closets. Everyone has a closet to come out of. We joke about it with Democrats in this area. You know, you have to come out of your closet. And we all have something that, you know, it's hard for us to step out of. And we really transcend the gender and sexuality lines to be able to be that. And so we're really, really grateful that in Coeur d'Alene, we have been very well received. We average over 28 people at every meeting, and that's our support group meeting. We've added an additional meeting, which is just a social time because people want to get together.
And if one is interested in learning more about PFLAG, is there a website or a phone number or both?
Sure. Well, I can give you the website is pflagcda.org. And our email, which is probably the better way to do, get in touch with us, is pflagcda@gmail.com.
Okay, slower. PFLAG, there's no hyphen in there or anything. It's just PFLAG.
CDA.
CDA. There's no period or anything. PFLAGCDA at?
Gmail.
Gmail.com. So if you're looking for more information about this important organization and what it does, you have some contact info. And the third person in the studio here, well, there's five of us, but the third person behind the mic, Laura Bree. And Laura, former member of Bonner County Human Rights Task Force and now vice president of the Foundation for Human Rights Action and Advocacy. Tell me a little bit about that organization, Laura, and then how it fits in with Add the Words.
So I'm the vice president. We call it FRA for short. FRA. So people know that. And FRA is a 501c3 tax exempt, able to accept tax deductible donation human rights organization in Sandpoint. And we're pretty quiet. We've done a few annual events here and there. We've started, but Add the Words fired up our board quite a bit. There were two of our board members were also involved with Pride Foundation in Idaho. I was one of them with the leadership action team up here. And so we decided to support Add the Words. And then when Cammie came up to bring the movie, thought, well, we can support that. That's the first thing that we'll do.
Excellent. Now, if one is more interested in FRA, how does one get contact information?
So everything that human rights related in Sandpoint happens on Facebook. So FHRAA.
So on Facebook. One goes to Facebook and FHRAA.
Mm-hmm. And that will link you up. To all the human rights and PFLAG Coeur d'Alene, and all the links are there.
Okay, excellent. We're here in the studio at 88.5 KRFY with Cammie, Julie, and Laura, and we're talking about key issues focusing around Add the Words documentary film, PFLAG, and FRA, all these acronyms. We're going to take a break now. We're going to regroup. And I would like to go back to the film, the making of it, and some of the details there. I think we have queued up a song by Holly Neer, a political activist on many levels, particularly in the area of LGBT. And this is a song called Singing for Our Lives here on 88.5 KRFY, Jim and Jack. And the morning show.
Gentle language.
That was Holly Neer with Singing for Our Lives. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY with Cami Pavicek, Julie Stratton, and Laura Bree here talking about, among other things, the film Add the Words, co-directed by Cami Pavicek. Moving on to that movie, now you guys just had a showing here in Sandpoint, right?
We did. One more time, my filmmaking partner, Michael D. Goff, just because he's so brilliant and I love his work. And he just films things that look so beautiful. And what an amazing editor and film partner he's been. So without him, this movie wouldn't exist. So I think we make a pretty good team and tell a pretty good story. One of the reasons we made the film is that we wanted to be able to tell the story of what was happening, but also, rather than talk about the hatred and things that people had experienced here in Idaho, we wanted to give people an opportunity to meet people who are just like them. So when you meet somebody who's transgender, you know, they're just like your aunt or your friend next door or, you know, maybe, you know, a high school friend that you remember. We're just regular people. And we wanted to tell that story so that because it can be very much us and them. There's always an other, and you'll see that in the film. So, you know, it could be, you know, it was African Americans, and then it was women, and then it was, you know, people from the Middle East. And now we're seeing a huge backlash because of marriage equality with the gay agenda. And really, the gay agenda is we want to live in a community peacefully and participate and pay our taxes and, you know, just be part, go to church. And so that we're not them. It's not, we're not these weird beings that make no sense in the order of the universe. We're just people. You know, we want to get married so that we can, if we're military, our we can be buried with our spouses. We want to make sure that we have access to health care through our spouses' workplace, those kind of things that people enjoy every day. We want to be able to make medical decisions for our loved ones. We want to be able to adopt and love children, those kind of things. So we're just like everybody else. And I think we need to talk about common ground rather than fear. There's so much fear out there right now. We're just asking for the same rights. We're not asking for special rights. It's a human rights issue. It's not special.
Okay, now the movie ends with it still in committee. What's next?
So, well, you know, that's one of, so what we do with the film is we take it around Idaho and we show it. And then we usually have an organizing breakfast afterwards, which I'll let these guys talk about in a second. But it's how I met them. But we talk about then how do we support the community? How do we best be able to create a safe community that people can participate and thrive in. So, you know, we have been touring the film. We've shown it all over the state. And we've gotten into a couple of film festivals. We won a few awards. We got Documentary of the Year from the Idaho Media Professionals. We have been in the Bend, Oregon Film Festival, which is one of the top 25 film festivals in the country. And we got first runner-up for Audience Choice Award, which is unheard of for a documentary. So we're very proud of that. And then the same thing happened in Sun Valley. We got first runner-up for Audience Choice Award. And so people have been very responsive to the film. It's been changing people's hearts and minds. And now, this month, in 2 weeks, actually, on the 16th, July 16th, we're showing at Outfest, which is one of the largest LGBTQ film festivals in the country. And we're showing at the Directors Guild on Thursday, July 16th. And again, we have marriage equality in all 50 states now. But in 18 states, if you get married on Sunday and your name shows up in the paper or your coworkers went to your wedding, you can be fired on Monday. So we have to make sure that people, again, the protection means that you can't, you can still have bigoted feelings, but you can't act on those when somebody sits at your lunch counter or if somebody needs a house or a job. You know, if they're the best person for the job, what does it care what bathroom they use? You know, those kind of things are so silly. And that's another thing. You know, I just want to say really quickly that this whole pushback about, you know, I'm not going to serve gays. How do you know? Like, it's all about how people look. And isn't that terrible? If you look gay. I remember reading an article last week that Michelle Bachmann's husband was refused service at a lunch counter because they thought he was gay. Well, he's married to Michelle Bachmann. So, you know, again, that's very judgmental and not very Christian-like. So we need to stop that whole thing, too. And so I just want to say that we've had very positive feedback, and we're using the film to organize communities and build support. So I'm going to turn the mic over after you to Julie. Yeah.
I have one final question for you, Cammie. Is this bill, the Add the Words campaign, is there a sponsor for the 2016 legislative session? I mean, that's what I'm thinking of. Is this going to be brought to the attempt to be brought to the floor going to occur next year?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, you know, we still... So the problem is in 13 cities here in Idaho, we do have protection. Sandpoint led the charge. Sandpoint was the first city to have protection with sexual orientation and gender identity added into their city ordinance. So, but if
yay,
you...
Yay, Sandpoint.
Yay, Sandpoint. But if you live in a community outside of Sandpoint, if you live in Post Falls or Bonner's Ferry or a place like that, it's like, so, you know, you don't have those same protections. And really, it's a, what are those young people? They don't have choices but to leave. And we don't want our young people leaving the state. We want them to stay here. It's a beautiful state.
This is Julie now speaking.
When we first got involved with Add the Words, it was really at a crucial time for PFLAG. We had been meeting as a group and supporting each other, but we really hadn't been out in the community too much. And so when I met Cammie last fall, we did two screenings of the movie in Coeur d'Alene, and we had approximately 150 people show for both screenings, and it was an amazing experience to finally bring people together around this issue. And we met so many people that everyone was like, well, I didn't know you lived here. I didn't know you lived here. So it really gave us an opportunity to organize around this issue, to meet people who believed in equal rights. And one of the primary things at PFLAG National with our advocacy is our tagline is moving equality forward. And that's what we do for our advocacy. And whatever that looks like in whatever state. And so for us, clearly that is allowing, you know, protections or giving us protections for everyone.
So, and this is Laura, and we had the film, Cammie brought the film up, and we followed that up with an organizing breakfast last weekend that was sponsored by the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force at the library. And I think there were 20 of us there all together. I was really impressed with the turnout, and I love going to meetings now where I don't already know everybody. So, there was a commitment made by several people about starting up, or restarting PFLAG in Sandpoint. So, we're moving forward with that. And, I just put a post on Facebook last night. On the Sandpoint Progressives page, a lot of these issues end up in the progressive. We try to keep it out of the political. So at Sandpoint Progressives on Facebook, there's information about how someone can get involved with PFLAG and Sandpoint. And also, we're going to be doing more organizing meetings around Add the Words as we finish up the year in 2015 and go into the 2016 legislature. Two of the legislators on the committee that heard the ad, the words bill, represent Bonner County residents, District 1 and District 7.
This is Julie. One of the things that we were really able to accomplish, too, with our organizing breakfast that followed the films in Coeur d'Alene was really bridging what resources we have and what groups that we have found that are like-minded. And one of those groups was the Gender and Sexuality Alliance at North Idaho College, a group of very active and committed students who are allies, who identify within the LGBT spectrum and have gotten to know PFLAG. And that's one bridge that we've really strengthened over the last year of letting that those young people know, one, you don't have to leave. You can stay in Idaho and have a place here and be accepted within a group of people and flourish and really grow. And if you do go away to college, please come back because there's work for you to do. And so being able to connect with that group has been really important because this past year, it was a group of young people who really took Add the Words by the horns and ran with it. They did fundraising for Add the Words. They showed Add the Words at the college to about 150 people. And so they've worked very, very hard to also get the word out of why this is so important. And this is the generation that I see that's truly going to create this change that we're looking for in the long term. These are going to be our future senators and representatives. These are going to be our future mayors and city council people. These are the young people that we need to stay here and we need to stay involved. And so we need to continue expanding what the GSA at the college does into the high schools. And that's a whole nother topic. That's a whole nother session.
But oh, absolutely. Come back.
Absolutely. And you know, we are here for the younger generation, and we need them to know that there is a place and that they can survive and they can thrive and they can really fulfill their potential within a community that values them and that
and
loves them.
And supports them. I've got a political question. I don't know how politics works on the state level, but it went before a committee of 17 legislators. How were those 17 legislators chosen that made up that committee? I don't know. See, I don't know much about committees and things like that. Cammie?
Well, so I think we're going to get in the weeds here when we talk about like the whole political structure of a republic. I think what's really important is to know that you have a voice and that if you want your voice heard, there is an opportunity of that through the Add the Words movement, whether it's testifying, whether it's participating in civil disobedience, whether it's writing a letter to the editor, whether it's becoming on a radio show. All of those are part of the political process and probably even more important. And I think the other misnomer is that, you know, we have to change people's minds, and that doesn't create a safe space for everybody. And especially now, there's a lot of pushback after marriage equality, and things have become more unsafe up here for our LGBT brothers and sisters and their allies and friends. So I think, you know, we need to have those conversations with people. We know that, you know, the LGBTQA acronym makes up about 10% of the population. So if we look at a place like Sandpoint, we're talking around 30 or 40,000 people up here. So we're looking for the 3,000, 4,000 people who need our help and our support. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, this fear and hatred, I just want to say that we have these young people that are doing amazing things and we want them to stay here. We have a woman who is working with University of Idaho, is a brilliant scientist who is all over the country. People are sending their potatoes and she is curing potato diseases. And that is very important. And we don't want to lose her. And I don't want to say her name because I'm not going to out anybody. But I'm just saying that's important for her to stay here. And it's important for Idaho to lead in really positive ways like that. We have another woman who is a leader of Add the Words, who is an archaeologist, who is working on, you know, rock art and things like that and preserving that heritage. So I think it's really important that we understand that these kids are valuable, very valuable to our communities. And so I don't like to go into the political weeds with this because it's really not a partisan issue. Governor Philbatt has spoken publicly about having a gay grandson that moved away from Idaho that he misses terribly, that won't come back because it's not safe for him. And, you know, and now I'm speaking for him, so that's terrible.
He's been quoted in the media.
So, but, you know, it's about just love and not about acceptance, but about thriving. And every human being, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is for everybody. It's not just for a certain group of people. And I just want to remind people that, you know, we as a nation have elected officials nationally that have cared about our health care, that have cared about equality and have moved forward on this, and that the media a lot of times makes it seem like 50% of the people are for something and 50% of the people are against it. There are not two sides of a human rights issue. There's a human rights issue and there's only one side, which is that everyone deserves it. And to give the other side full of hatred saying that they have an equal footing is ridiculous because, first of all, we know, again, 81% of Idahoans are for employment protection. And so there's, I think the media skews and fires this hatred and this fight between people that doesn't really exist in the real world. There isn't that kind of fear.
And Cammie, if one is interested in seeing the film, who missed it at the Panada Theater a couple of weeks ago, will there be another opportunity to see the film?
Yes, of course. Actually, after OutFest, so after July 16th, so give us a couple weeks, we're probably going to be selling it, or you'll be able to rent it on Amazon Prime. And Amazon is just wonderful in that we don't have to have a distribution company. We can set it up ourselves. And so you'll be able to rent it through there. And then if you're interested in the film, you can go to our website, which is www.addthewordsmovie.com. And there's trailers on there. You can see where our next screenings are. I think the next one we have is in September, at the end of September in Moscow. And if you're interested in a screening, then there's information on there on how to do that and how to contact me or Michael.
You and Michael Goff directed this movie, and I am the only one in the room who hasn't seen it. Does it take a is it a narrative? Does it follow an arc, or is it a series of little vignettes, or what is the movie? If you to step away from politics, just as a movie, what am I going to see?
Well, I think it says thanks for that question. Mm-hmm. I think it says a lot that we were Audience Choice Award, because a lot of times with documentaries, you know, they can get dry and a lot of information and a lot of narrative, right? So Michael and I are both narrative filmmakers. He's done several documentaries with the Drum and Bugle Corps, Hellbent to Victory. He's done a series and stuff. So he's done a few documentaries and won awards. He's won, stuff for his commercial work and things like that. But we met on the set of Sanguinarian, and he was the director of photography. I was one of the executive producers and an actor in that film. And I just loved his work. But again, you know, we were working on a narrative at that time. So we approached this documentary as a film. Like, we wanted it to be as epic as this battle and as the hearts and souls of the people who were in it. And so, you know, of course, at the beginning of the film, we do have some background and things like that. But there is an arc, and you will see the people who are participating in the arrest actions and hear their stories and hear what's happening and why they decided to do the things that they were doing, how they were treated. And then the successes that they had, like we have a Religious Freedom Act here in Idaho. They wanted to expand it because it wasn't, you know, enough, and wanted to give people the legal right to discriminate. And we were able to stop that bill. And I really think it was the Add the Words movement and just getting thousands of people to the Capitol that was able to change that with the help of several coalition members. So Add the Words is not just a movement by itself. It's just the tagline. So we have people, you know, there was your friends, family, and neighbors. There was the Human Rights Commission statewide. There were the task forces from each county. There was Planned Parenthood, United Vision for Idaho, ACLU. I mean, I know I'm missing some people, so I'm really sorry. But, I mean, it has been a huge effort, a huge coalition. The Interfaith Alliance, and I have to say that Julie got Organizer of the Year from the Interfaith Alliance, which is a statewide organization of churches that are supporting human rights causes. So, yay for her.
Okay. We're here with Cami Pavasek, co-director of the film Add the Words, and we've been talking about the film. And if I could pick up on what Jack asked, I think for me, somebody who saw the film a couple of weeks ago, the stories within the story, the woman who could not be buried with her partner in a national cemetery, and just their ashes and the struggle that was. And of course, the mother of the bullied son who took his life. And then the conversation with the transgendered person talking about how the family has dealt with it. These are human stories that I think transcend the issues, but are so much of the issues that they combine together. That puts faces on these issues. It puts real people who live in our community, and I think that's important. Julie Stratton is president of the Coeur d'Alene chapter of PFLAG. One more time with contact information. Our hour is winding down. Next meeting, if somebody's interested, I think that's important.
The next we meet the first Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock, and you can email me at PFLAG, PFLAGCDA @gmail.com to find out more information about where. We are still a little protective because of our safety issues in our area. We welcome all people who support our mission of living our authentic lives in love. The last thing I really want to say about PFLAG that ties in with what you just said about putting a face on who we are, and that's really one of the things that motivated us around the movie, is we need to be more visible as safely as possible. We need people to know us and see us, because we do believe that we change hearts and minds one story at a time. And so when people get to know us as just regular everyday citizens of our great state of Idaho and the beautiful part of North Idaho, it does make a difference. And I am happy to talk about my wife in a legal sense and in every other way. We're just like, you know, every other couple that's been together 10 years trying to figure out who has to get up early to take the dog out or who's got a shovel today. There's no great mystery behind our relationship. We're really kind of boring when you look at it. We're just like, we're like everybody else, trying to be good to each other and have a loving relationship. And that's what we're each trying to be to our community as well.
Okay, so for information, PFLAGCDA@gmail.com. And finally, Laura, what's next for PFLAG here in the Sandpoint area? Where does one go to find information?
So I'm basically collecting contact information from people. And so people can actually call me. I can give you my phone number. It's 290-5261. They can call me. My number's public. I want to let people know that the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force annual meeting is coming up. And sounds pretty boring, right? Human rights, la-di-da. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're going to be at Evans Brothers Coffee. We're going to have Owen and McCoy as our musical guests.
Oh, they just released a CD. They're wonderful.
Those guys are so sweet. And we're going to be showing the trailers for the Add the Words movie. This is really going to be fun. So we want you to join the task force on Monday, July 13th at 5:30 at Evans Brothers Coffee. And the actual meeting starts at 6 o'clock.
Okay,
so come meet us there and sign up.
In a flippant sort of way, I want to say, after all these issues are resolved and taken care of, I want a human lefts task force. As a left-handed person, it's been very difficult in this culture. But I want to thank the three of you. And please keep KRFY in mind with, I'd love to have you come back, Cammy, after Outfest, the film festival. How did it go down there? How the 4th of July parade went in Coeur d'Alene with PFLAG. I understand they're going to be visible.
Yep, this will be our first time walking in a major parade.
Excellent, excellent. And Laura, good luck with organizing. One more time, slowly, the phone number.
290-5261. That's voice and text.
Thank you so much. We're going to have a transition song before we do some community events. This weekend is an important event. If you're a Deadhead in Chicago, one of the final concerts of the Grateful Dead without Jerry, with Trey Anastasio from Phish doing lead vocals. Here is a classic Dead song on this morning of July 2nd. Thank you, Cammy, Julie, and Laura, for coming by.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
I'd love to be. I got a call from my nephew who went to the concerts in Santa Clara on Saturday and Sunday, and he said they were absolutely incredible, and he FaceTimed me, and I got to hear some of the music.
You are not there this weekend, though. That's too bad.
No, yeah. I'm not. I don't do well in big crowds, but I do want to thank Cammy, Julie, and Laura for coming in this morning here on the morning show. Real quickly, we have some community events. One is tonight at the Panada Theater, Jaws. It's been 40 years of Jaws, and I know it's been around on television. But if you haven't seen it on the big screen.
Which I have not.
Oh,
I'm going.
I tell you, it's at 7:30 tonight at the Panada Theater. Doors open at 7. It'll make you think twice about. I saw it the first time, Jack, in 1975 in Lincoln, Nebraska. Now, how much water is there in Lincoln, Nebraska? But I couldn't sleep at night when I saw it, because all I heard was boom, 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 boom. And that makes me nervous.
I love that movie. I think Jaws is a real. I mean, it's the original blockbuster.
The story is well told. It's the first. You're absolutely correct. It's the first summer blockbuster. Tonight at the Panada, renew your love of Jaws on the big screen.
That's right. I love what the Panada is doing. Occasionally showing these old movies. You get one more chance to see them on the big screen, which I've never had. I'm glad that they're showing it, and it's also your last chance to visit the Panada when they're going to close for the summer.
Okay, Jack, I'm going to slip out of here because we have Team Laughing Dog going to come on after Bird Note and maybe a song to talk about their race across America to raise awareness about cystinosis. So I need to get their names and all that. So
you
I'm going to
well.
Leave you up to your
my own
doings.
Okay. I'll take it home with a few events coming up this weekend. Tomorrow is Friday, July 3rd, and at the Pondere Winery, there's a little music going on from 5:30 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Strangled Darlings is the name of the duo from Portland that has been creating original tunes since 2009 and is now joining us here in Sandpoint the day before the 4th of July. That's Friday, tomorrow night, at the Pondere Winery. Coming up this Saturday, I think there is a major American holiday going on. The Sandpoint Lions Club were in here last weekend talking a little bit about that, all that has been going into the preparations for the 4th of July festivities, and it all culminates this Saturday. It's all coming together, starting with a parade downtown. The children's parade starts at 9 a.m. in downtown Sandpoint from the parking lot. If you are a child or no one, tell them to meet at the city parking lot at 9 a.m. for participation in the children's parade, followed by the grand parade at 10 a.m. This year's theme is honoring our heroes, featuring the students of Sandpoint High School as the grand marshals. In the afternoon, there will be children's games at City Beach at 2 p.m., along with free ice cream and live music by Frank Moore and Friends and Fiddlin' Red. Raffle tickets are on sale all day long at the entrance to City Beach. First place prize is a John Deere Gator four-wheel drive ATV kind of vehicle, excellent for use on your farm or just around town. You'll have the coolest ride at Sandpoint if you have that John Deere Gator, especially if you can say, I won it in the raffle by supporting the Sandpoint Lions Club. Proceeds help pay for the day's fun, including the spectacular, here we go, fireworks show at dusk at City Beach. That's coming up this weekend. It's the 4th of July. I think everybody already knows what they're going to be doing, but if you don't know what you're going to be doing for the 4th of July or tonight or tomorrow, there's all sorts of events, and you can check it out on our website, krfy.org. Coming up next, we've got Bird Note right at 9 o'clock, as always, followed by an interview with Team Laughing Dog coming up right after Bird Note. Stick around. This is 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio, broadcast out of Pondere, Idaho.